Good evening, everyone. This is Kilo 6 Sierra United November, and this is SCARS, the South Coast Amateur Radio Service. This net is conducted under the guidelines of the SCARS organization and further follows the rules outlined in FCC Part 97 and Good Amateur Practice. This SCARS server is supplied by the Great Lakes Reflector System, provided by Whiskey 8 Mike Whiskey, and all contacts and requests for information will be handled through the net control. When contact with another station is made, please move off the system and establish your contact direct so the net may continue. In fairness to all, short time stations will not be recognized as such. All stations will be worked in the order in which they've checked in. Information regarding our operation may be found at www.scarsvoip.com. You have many net controls this evening. I'm just merely opening it up. My name is Kathleen. My call is Kilo 6 Sierra United November. My location is Port St. Lucie, Florida, where we currently have a temperature of about 63 degrees. It was a high of about 71 today. Tomorrow is going to be a much cooler day. So prior to starting, I'd like to ask if there's any emergency traffic or anything out of the ordinary that needs to be handled at this time. If so, I ask you to come aboard. All right, hearing no emergency traffic, how about anyone celebrating a birthday maybe this week, maybe today, maybe last week, that would like to come aboard so we could say happy, happy? No birthday stations. As I always say, that means we're not getting any older. This session tonight is the monthly Thursday Informational Net Open Forum, or TIN for short. This net is conducted to provide information pursuant to amateur-related subjects and or other areas of general interest to those participating. All are encouraged to participate and ask questions of our guest speaker and speakers. Do want to advise, though, all stations connected to this net will be recorded for future presentation on our website as a podcast, so all stations participating will be part of that recording. Our program this evening is entitled The History and Usage of JavaScript. So hopefully you'll enjoy, and like I said, ask questions of those net controls. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to you, KY6V, to begin the program, and thanks for allowing me to do the preamble this evening. KY6V, the floor is all yours.
Well, thank you, Kathy, and good evening all. Gordon, KY6V here, and tonight is our last series in a computer coding, at least for a little while. Since we have covered HTML and CSS previously, we felt prudent to include the JavaScript, which is part of the overall family. JavaScript has an interesting history, along with some very interesting challenges. So without further ado, let's see if David is ready. David, GWASZL. Other side of the pond, are you there, sir?
KY6V from Golf Whiskey 8, Sierra Zulu Lima. I most certainly am there, Gordon. And we currently got 50 degrees Foxtrot, 9.9 Charlie over here at 4 minutes gone midnight. Okay, without further ado, well, let's get the show on the road, as they say. Okay, JavaScript, often abbreviated as JS, is a programming language and core technology of the web, alongside HTML and CSS. 99% of websites use JavaScript on the client side for web page behavior. Now, web browsers have a dedicated JavaScript engine that executes the client code. These engines are also utilized in some servers and a variety of apps. The most popular runtime system for non-browser usage is Node.js. Now, JavaScript is a high-level, often just-in-time compiled language that conforms to the ECMA script standard. It has dynamic typing, prototype-based object orientation, and first-class functions. It is a multi-paradigm, supporting event-driven, functional, and imperative programming styles. It has application program interfaces, also known as APIs, for working with text, dates, regular expressions, standard data structures, and of course the Document Object Module, abbreviated to DOM, Delta Oscar Mike. Now the ECMA script standard does not include any input-output such as networking, storage, or graphics facilities. In practice, the web browser or other runtime systems provide JavaScript APIs for input-output usage. Although Java and JavaScript are very similar in name and syntax, the two languages are distinct and differ greatly in design. Now a little bit about the history of JavaScript. Okay, creation at Netscape. Now the first popular web browser with a graphical user interface, a GUI, Mosaic, was released in 1993. Accessible to non-technical people, it played a prominent role in the rapid growth of the early World Wide Web. Now the lead developers of Mosaic then founded a Netscape Corporation, which released a more polished browser called Netscape Navigator in 1994. And now this quickly became the most used web browser back then. During these formative years of the web, web pages could only be static, lacking the capability for dynamic behavior after the page was loaded in the actual browser. There was a desire in the flourishing web development scene to remove this limitation. So in 1995, Netscape decided to add a programming language to Navigator itself. They pursued two routes to achieve this. They were collaborating with Sun Microsystems to embed the Java language, while also hiring Brendan Eich to embed the Scheme language. The goal was a language for the masses to help non-programmers create dynamic, interactive websites. Netscape management soon decided that the best option was for Eich to devise a new language with syntax similar to Java and less like Scheme or other extant scripting languages. Although the new language and its interpreter implementation were called LiveScript when first shipped as part of the Navigator beta in September 1995, the name was changed to JavaScript for the official release in December. The choice of that JavaScript name has caused confusion, implying that this is directly related to Java. Now at the time, the dot-com boom had begun, and Java was a popular new language. So I considered the JavaScript name a marketing ploy by Netscape. Now it was adopted by Microsoft. Microsoft debuted Internet Explorer in 1995, leading to a browser war with Netscape. I remember it well. On the JavaScript front, Microsoft created its own interpreter called JScript. Microsoft first released JScript in 1996, alongside initial support for CSS and extensions to HTML. Each of these implementations was noticeably different from their counterparts in Netscape Navigator. These differences made it difficult for developers to make their websites work well in both browsers, leading to the widespread use of the best viewed in Netscape and best viewed in Internet Explorer logos for several years. Now the rise of JScript. Brendan Eich later said of this period, it's still a kind of sidekick language. It's considered slow or annoying. People do pop-ups or those scrolling messages in the old status bar at the bottom of your old browser. And in November 1996, Netscape submitted JavaScript to ECMA International as a starting point for a standard specification that all browser vendors could conform to. Now this led to the official release of the first ECMA script language specification in June 1997. Okay, that's the first section for tonight's program. Is there anybody like to check in? Do we have any comments or do we have any questions? If you'd like to check in and say hi or even. This is Golf Whiskey 8 Sierra Zulu Lima. Please check in now. Okay, hearing nobody at this time. Is there anybody... Out there who'd like to check in, got any questions or comments before I move it along to the next narrator? This is GW8SZL.
Yes, VK2DY, Robert in Sydney.
Okay, I've got Robert VK2DY over there in Kellyville Ridge in Sydney. Is there anybody else? Okay, hearing nobody else at this time, over to you there, Robert. VK2DY from GW8SZL. Go right ahead, sir.
Yes, GW8SZL, VK2DY, Robert in Northwestern Sydney here, where it's currently 22 degrees Celsius, about 72 Fahrenheit. It'll get up into the upper 70s Fahrenheit, I guess, here, before the day is through, but it's only 11 o'clock in the morning at the moment. Anyway, we're in a little bit of a cool snap here. It's feeling a bit like autumn. Anyway, I remember the days when I first saw JavaScript. I was programming along, and this guy, we were working on a project together, and he said, you know, make this thing do something dynamic. I forget what it was, populate a drop down or something like this. And you can't do that. And he showed me JavaScript, and my jaw just dropped for a second there. I was like, whoa, you can do that. So yes, it was a wonderful addition to the web programming, and I was very glad to have seen that happen. And you know, it's 20 some years ago, and I still remember it. Anyway, VK2DY, back to net.
Yeah, VK2DY from GW8SRL. A little bit like the story of the CSS as well. And yeah, I remember all the websites best viewed in Netscape, best viewed in Internet Explorer. And all. Oh dear, that was the good old days there, Robert, for sure. And yeah, the actual SCAS roster, membership roster, has got a lot of JavaScript in it. And for the management side, for adding new members and stuff like that, there's also a bit of Ajax thrown in there as well, but that's a whole completely different story there. But it's all good fun, and it makes it really, really nice looking and dynamic and all that kind of good stuff. But yeah, I remember the start of the more public World Wide Web, shall we say, as well. Yeah, just showing my age now. Okay then, Robert, do you have anything further there before I pass it along to the chief? VK2DY from GW8SZL.
GW8SZL, VK2DY. No, nothing further to add. Thank you for the presentation, VK2DY.
Yeah, okay there, Robert, from GW8SZL. And thanks for popping in there. Also. Okay, this is GW8SZL. I'm looking for the chief there. That's Whiskey 4, Romeo Foxtrot Juliet. Are you out there, chief? And please continue with the presentation, my friend. From Golf Whiskey 8, Sierra Zulu Lima.
Okay, yes, sir. I'm here near Rainbow Springs, Florida, with a temperature of 51 degrees. And I think we're supposed to get down into the mid-30s tonight, and it's going to be a lot colder tomorrow. But anyway, I guess I can't complain, because any place north of us is going to be in a lot worse position. Let's see. I guess I'll just go ahead and continue the script, if that's okay with you, Dave.
Yeah, W4RFJ, GW8SZL. Yeah, continue on there, Chief. It's all yours, my friend.
Okay, shipmate. Let's see. Continuing where Dave left off, the standards process continued for a few years. With the release of ECMA Script 2 in June of 1998 and ECMA Script 3 in December of 1999, and then work on ECMA Script 4 began in 2000. However, the effort to fully standardize the language was undermined by Microsoft gaining an increasingly dominant position in the browser market. By the early 2000s, Internet Explorer's market share reached 95%. This meant that JScript became the de facto standard for client-side scripting on the web. Microsoft initially participated in the standards process and implemented some proposals in its JScript language, but eventually it stopped collaborating on ECMA work, thus ECMA Script 4 was mothballed. Growth and standardization. During the period of Internet Explorer dominance in the early 2000s, client-side scripting was stagnant. This started to change in 2004 when the successor of Netscape, Mozilla, released the Firefox browser. Firefox was well received by many, taking significant market share from Internet Explorer. In 2005, Mozilla joined ECMA International, and work started on the ECMA script for XML, also known as the E4X standard. This led to Mozilla working jointly with Macromedia, later acquired by Adobe Systems, who were implementing E4X in their ActionScript 3 language, which was based on an ECMA script for draft. The goal became standardizing ActionScript 3 as the new ECMA script 4. To this end, Adobe Systems released the Tamarin implementation as an open source project. However, Tamarin and ActionScript 3 were too different from established client-side scripting, and without cooperation from Microsoft, ECMA Script 4 never reached fruition. Meanwhile, very important developments were occurring in open source communities not affiliated with ECMA work. In 2005, Jesse James Garrett released a white paper in which he coined the term AJAX and described a set of technologies of which JavaScript was the backbone to create web applications where data can be loaded in the background, avoiding the need for full page reloads. This sparked a renaissance period of JavaScript spearheaded by open source libraries and the communities that formed around them. Many new libraries were created, including jQuery, Prototype, Dojo Toolkit, and Moon Tools. Google debuted its Chrome browser in 2008 with the V8 JavaScript engine, which was faster than its competition. The key innovation was just-in-time compilation, Juliet India Tango, so other browser vendors needed to overhaul their engines for JIT. In July 2008, these disparate parties came together for a conference in Oslo. This led to the eventual agreement in early 2009 to combine all relevant work and drive the language forward. The result was the ECMA Script 5 standard released in December 2009. Reaching maturity. Ambitious work on the language continued for several years, culminated in an extensive collection of additions and refinements being formalized with the publication of ECMA Script 6 in 2015. The creation of Node.js in 2009 by Ryan Dahl sparked a significant increase in the usage of JavaScript outside of web browsers. Node combines the V8 engine, an event loop, and I/O APIs, thereby providing a standalone JavaScript runtime system. As of 2018, Node had been used by millions of developers, and NPM had the most modules of any package manager in the world. The ECMA script draft specification is currently maintained openly on GitHub, and additions are produced via regular annual snapshots. Potential revisions to a language are vetted through the comprehensive proposal process. Now, instead of edition numbers, developers check the status of upcoming features individually. The current JavaScript ecosystem has many libraries and frameworks, established programming practices, and substantial usage of JavaScript outside of web browsers. Plus, with the rise of single-page applications and other JavaScript-heavy websites, several transpilers have been created to aid the development process. Now let's talk about the trademark. JavaScript is a trademark of Oracle Corporation in the United States. The trademark was originally issued to Sun Microsystems on 6 May of 1997 and was transferred to Oracle when they acquired Sun in 2009. A letter was circulated in September of 2024, spearheaded by Ryan Dahl, calling on Oracle to free the JavaScript trademark. Brendan Eich, the original creator of JavaScript, was among the over 14,000 signatures who support the initiative. All right, that's the end of my section. Let's see, is there anybody that has comments or questions for the net before we move on to the next narrator? This is W4RFJ with the TIN. Okay, hearing none, I guess it goes over to the alien life form, KE5ALF. It's your turn, sir. Greg, where are you? KE5ALF, it's your turn, sir. Okay, KY6V, W4RFJ. You want me to continue reading?
Yes, if you would. Raj, I see him connected, so I don't know what's going on with him. Over.
All right, I'll pause after a bit and see if he's come back. All right, this is W4RFJ, continuing on for KE5ALF. We're going to talk about website client-side usage. Let's see, JavaScript is the dominant client-side scripting language of the web, with 99% of all websites using it for this purpose. Scripts are embedded in or included from HTML documents and interact with DOM. All major web browsers have a built-in JavaScript engine that executes the code on the user's device. Examples of scripted behavior. One, loading new web page content without reloading the page via AJAX or a WebSocket. For example, users of a social media can send and receive messages without leaving the current page. Two, web page animations such as fading objects in and out, resizing, and moving them. Also, there's playing browser games. Another is controlling the playback of streaming media. Also generating pop-up ads or alert boxes. Another is validating input values of a web form before the data is sent to a web server. Just a few more. Logging data about the user's behavior when sending it to a server. The website owner can use this data for analytics and ad tracking and personalization. Then there's redirecting a user to another page. And last but not least is storing and retrieving data on the user's device via the storage or indexed DB standards. Let me grab a nickel and see if Greg showed up yet. Okay, not hearing Greg. We're going to talk now about libraries and frameworks. Over 80% of websites use a third-party JavaScript library or web framework as part of their client-side scripting. jQuery is by far the most used. Other notable ones include Angular, Bootstrap, Lodash, Modernizer, React, Underscore, and Vue. Multiple options can be used in conjunction such as jQuery and Bootstrap. However, the vanilla JS was coined for websites not using any libraries or frameworks at all, instead relying entirely on standard JavaScript functionality. This is W4RFJ for the TIN. Greg, are you with us yet? KE5ALF, W4RFJ. Greg, are you with us? Nope, I guess not. Well, anyway, let me pause one more time and see if he's with us. KE5ALF, W4RFJ, with us yet, Greg?
Looks like he's reconnecting. So he's trying.
Expanded beyond its web browser roots, JavaScript engines are now embedded in a variety of other software systems, both for server-side website deployments and non-browser applications. Initial attempts at promoting server-side JavaScript usage were Netscape Enterprise Server and Microsoft's Internet Information Services, but they were small niches. Let me go ahead and reset the timers again. K5ALF, are you with us yet? Okay, I'm not getting any response. Okay, so server-side usage eventually started to grow in the late 2000s with the creation of Node.js and other approaches. Applications include Adobe Acrobat support for scripting PDF documents and GNOME Shell extensions written in JavaScript, Electron, Cordova, React Native, and other application frameworks have been used to create many applications with behavior implemented in JavaScript and other non-browsers. JavaScript has been used in some embedded systems, usually by leveraging Node.js. All right, let me see if Greg has joined us yet. W4RFJ, are you there, Greg? Okay, hearing none, this is W4RFJ, continuing on. We're going to talk now about the JavaScript engine. This section is an excerpt from JavaScript engine. A JavaScript engine is a software component that executes JavaScript code. The first JavaScript engines were mere interpreters, but all relevant modern engines use just-in-time compilation for improved performance. JavaScript engines are typically developed by web browser vendors, and every major browser has one. In a browser, the JavaScript engine runs in concert with the rendering engine via the document object model and web IDL bindings. That's India Delta Lima bindings. However, the use of JavaScript engines is not limited to browsers. For example, the V8 engine is a core component of the Node.js runtime system. Since ECMA script is the standardized specification of JavaScript, ECMA script engine is another name for the implementation. With the advent of WebAssembly, some engines can also execute this code in the same sandbox as regular JavaScript code. All right, the runtime system. A JavaScript engine must be embedded within a runtime system, such as a web browser or a standalone system, to enable scripts to interact with the broader environment. The runtime system includes the necessary APIs for input-output operations, such as networking, storage, and graphics, and provides the ability to import scripts. JavaScript is a single-threaded language. The runtime processes messages. The runtime process messages from a queue processes messages from a queue one at a time. Boy, I had trouble getting that one out. And it calls a function associated with each new message, creating a call stack frame with the function's arguments and local variables. The call stack shrinks and grows based on the function's needs. When the call stack is empty upon function completion, the JavaScript proceeds to the next message in the queue. This is called the event loop. Let me grab a nickel just in case. The event loop is described as a run to completion because each message is fully processed before the next message is considered. However, the language's concurrency model describes the event loop as non-blocking. Program I/O is performed using events and callback functions. This means, for example, that JavaScript can process a mouse click while waiting for a database query to return information. The notable standalone runtimes are Node.js, Dino, I think I pronounced that correct, and Bun. Anybody have any comments, questions, deletions, changes? Please call W4RFJ. We'll take your call as a check-in.
KE5ALF, am I transmitting now?
Yeah, just in time. I finished your lecture.
Yeah, I noticed that. For some reason, I don't know how, but my microphone switched over to the one that's built into the phone, and I had to go out and come back in and tell it which microphone to use.
I hate it when that happens, but no problem, Greg. Did you have a question or any other comment?
No, other than that, you were doing good here. Chief Gordon asked if I'd cover for Dave just in case he couldn't make it, and here you are covering for me. What a switch.
That's okay, Greg, or Alien Life Form. We're all a team here. It's just a team effort. That's and there's no I in team. If Dave EWG is with us, Dave, are you with us? Okay. Well, I guess I'm going to hand it over to you, Greg, because I don't hear Dave.
No problem. Thank you very much, sir. This is KE5ALF, Greg. for the Thursday Internet Conference, and my section here is going to be, I'm going to start out with a common misconception is that JavaScript is directly related to Java. Both indeed have a C-like syntax, the C language being their most immediate common ancestor language. They are also typically sandboxed, and JavaScript was designed with Java syntax and standard library in mind. In particular, all Java keywords were reserved in original JavaScript. JavaScript's standard library follows Java's naming conventions, and JavaScript's math and date objects are based on classes from Java 1.0. Both languages first appeared in 1995, but Java was developed by James Goslin of Sun Microsystems and JavaScript by Brandon Eek of Netscape Communications. The difference between the two languages are more prominent than their similarities. Java has static typing while JavaScript typing is dynamic. Java is loaded from compiled bytecode while JavaScript is loaded as a human-readable source code. Java's objects are class-based with JavaScript's are prototype-based. Finally, Java did not support functional programming until Java 8. While JavaScript has done so from the beginning, being influenced by Scheme. Let's go to JSON, J-S-O-N. JSON is a data format derived from JavaScript, hence the name JavaScript Object Notation. It is widely used format supported by many other programming languages. JavaScript is a powerful language that enables dynamic and interactive web experiences, but it also comes with security risk. Here are a few key ones. Client-side vulnerabilities. Cross-site scripting, or XSS. Attackers inject malicious scripts into a web page viewed by others, potentially stealing their data, taking control of their accounts, or performing other harmful actions. Cross-site request forgery, or CSRF. Attackers trick users into performing actions on a website without their knowledge, such as making a purchase or changing their password. Data leakage. JavaScript can expose sensitive data to malicious actors, such as session tokens, user credentials, or personal information. Unintended script execution. Malicious code can be executed if JavaScript is not properly sanitized or validated, leading to unauthorized access or other security breaches. Server-side vulnerabilities, or Node.js. Interaction injection attacks, improper validation of user input can lead to SQL injection. No SQL injection or command injection vulnerabilities, allowing attackers to execute arbitrary code on the server. Denial of service, or DOS. JavaScript-based applications can be so scrupulated to DOS attacks where malicious actors overwhelm the server with traffic, rendering it unavailable to legitimate users. Dependency vulnerabilities. Third-party JavaScript libraries used in your application can introduce security risk if they are contain known vulnerabilities. Mitigating the risks. Input validation and sanitization. Always validate and sanitize user input on both the client and server sides to prevent malicious code injection. Secure coding practices. Follow secure coding practices such as using parameterized queries and avoiding eval functions to minimize vulnerabilities. Content security policy, CSP. Implementing a strong CSP to restrict the sources from which JavaScript can be loaded and executed. Regularly updated dependencies. Keep your JavaScript libraries and frameworks up to date with the latest security patches. Security audits. Regularly conduct security audits to identify and address potential vulnerabilities in your JavaScript code. Generative AI is experimental export. The most common JavaScript security vulnerabilities include source code vulnerabilities, input validation, reliance on client-side validation, unintended script execution, session data exposure, and unintentional user activity. News stories increasingly feature JavaScript security problems. Security professionals are asking, why is JavaScript vulnerable? JavaScript is vulnerable because it is easy for hackers and other threat actors to input query strings into forms to access, steal, or contaminate protected data. JavaScript is the standard for the processing of personal information in client-side websites and applications. There are many open source and third-party libraries available today, the majority of which have known vulnerabilities and are easy for threat actors to infiltrate. By default, JavaScript environments do not have a security permission model built in. The World Wide Web Consortium standard is that security permissions, what code is able to execute and what types of activity scripts are allowed to do, are housed in browsers, and the responsibility to manage them lies with the site owner. The onus is on site owners to implement CSP, SRI, and other policies. Let me grab a quick nickel here. Most common JavaScript vulnerabilities. The most common JavaScript security vulnerabilities include source code vulnerabilities, input validation, reliance on client-side validation, unintended script execution, session data exposure, and unintentional user activity. By taking advantage of these vulnerabilities, hackers can leverage JavaScript to engage in malicious activities. Two of the most prominent attack types include cross-site scripting, or XSS, which involves client-side code injection, enabling threat actors to steal data input by the client, and cross-site request forgery, CSRF or XSRF, which forces users to execute malicious or unwanted actions on a web application. Other threats include JavaScript sniffers and JavaScript injection attackers. Megacart and X-skimming attacks are also reasons why JavaScript is vulnerable. Why is JavaScript security important? More than 99% of all websites use JavaScript. Up to 80% of all websites are believed to use a third-party JS library or web framework for their client-side script. So applying JavaScript security best practices is essential. All right, that ends my section. At this time, I'm going to ask if there's any final check-ins, comments, or questions before we get ready to close.
VK2DY, just a little bit of information, VK2DY.
Okay, E5ALF to VK2DY. Robert, do you have a comment, sir?
Yes, VK2DY. Just a comment that SQL injection was in the news a little bit ago. The new government department, DOGE, was set up a website, a U.S. government website, and left their site vulnerable to SQL injection, and people wrote all over it. it was crashed and burned, so it was recently in the news. I think they've learned since then, but anyway, it was sort of an interesting news tidbit. VK2DY.
KE5ALF. Thank you very much here, Robert. I didn't see that article, but thanks for the information. Is there anyone else like that up there that would like to check in or have any more comments? Okay, seeing none, this has been the SCARS, VOIP, net schedules, and general information may be found on the SCARSVOIP.com website. This is KE5ALF. Saying 73 and closing this VOIP session, and I thank you very much for joining us on our Thursday Information Net. Thank you for your participation. This net is now closed.